Today's podcast is sponsored by Colt Kits, the best place to find original vintage jerseys for your favorite clubs, both home and abroad. And if you want to go full kit wanker, they have a great collection of shorts, socks, and boots. Cleats. They're called cleats. I'm so excited to join the creator collective team at Colt Kits, especially because each purchase you make using my code helps support the content you're about to enjoy. For 10% off your purchase from coltkits.com, click the link in my bio or use the code Cheyenne10 when you check out. Let's get into it. Hey guys, it's Cheyenne with Between Clean Sheets, and this afternoon I am joined by one of the newest members of the DC United crew, Miguel Berry. Miguel, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I know, having done research for this podcast, that you have been so gracious with your time in the past two-ish years with the league and talking to fan content creators who I realize I've asked you a lot of very, very interesting questions. It led me to wonder just how plugged in you are on social media. Do you read a lot of the things that people say about you or the reactions they have to how you're playing?
No, not at all.
That is very healthy.
Honestly, not at all.
That is incredibly healthy.
Well, for that reason, I mean, I think early on you learn that you can't do that. That's the quick way to end up in a bad place. So I think I'm lucky to, I follow the advice of my teammates and my friends, and I think that's the best way to do it. So
very smart. Now you say that, but at the same time you've also talked about defending Giassi's artists and the conversation that people have about him and his time with the U.S. men's national team. I feel like there's another guy on the Columbus crew, the team that you just came from, Darlington Nagbe, who a lot of people had opinions on with the national team as well. Now, separate of how he feels about his international appearances, do you think he's still the kind of guy who would make an impact on the national team right now?
He could probably be their best player. I think it's a very difficult one because I think it's hard for people to understand who've never seen him up close and don't really understand how good of a player Darlington is. And I mean, how good of a person as well. But I think no doubt in my mind, he could have an incredible impact, you know, to the team, but you know, it's his career, whatever he wants to do with it. And obviously it's Greg's choice, whatever Greg wants to do.
Right.
So, you know, either way, I'll support him, whatever he does and whatever ends up happening. But 100%, no doubt in my mind, he could have a huge impact on the team.
I happen to agree with you. And I am a chronically online fan of American soccer. I am not nearly as vocal as the rest of them, but man, do they have opinions, which we appreciate. Fans of the game are always appreciated. But let's start from the beginning. For those of you listening who don't know, Miguel was born in Spain to a Cuban father, if I'm remembering correctly, and an American mother, and then moved to the States, to San Diego, California, when he was about 8 years old. So what had your parents living in Spain in the first place?
Well, my dad's, like I said, born in Cuba, of Spanish background. I think he always, you know, wanted to live there. So my dad worked there, and so they lived there for, I think, 15 years total. So quite a while. And then it ended up being one of those situations where, you know, I think my mother was a bit tired of, you know, living out there so far from her family, at
right.
least, and all that. So I think, you know, for them, it was the easier choice to come to the States. But, yeah, I'm blessed with, you know, having lived in two great places. And obviously, I think it's done a lot for my soccer career. So probably wouldn't be
yes.
where I am if I didn't play there.
Yes.
So.
And you've talked about that, kind of coming into the youth programs in California being above and beyond what the average 8, 10, 12 year old kid was playing like at that time. Was there anything else about Spain or Spanish culture that you wore as a badge of pride when you moved, being like the new kid in school?
You know, I think for me, it was always difficult coming in. I think a lot of the, you know, everything from TV, what you watch on TV to, you know, the things, the games you play, everything was different. So I think for me, I probably struggled at first to join in and understand, but I think my brother and I did a pretty good job of trying to adapt ourselves quickly. But I mean, I was the kid who had like, you know, these Atletico de Madrid kits that no one else had, you know, and all these jerseys that no one knew what they were. And I was just, you know, I was just a kid in Spain who had all these nice little collection of jerseys because I was just what kids there do. And I think things like little things like that, I think were, you know, I look back on now and, you know, with fondness, but I think at the time I was probably a bit lost.
Probably a bit lost, definitely othered. But what everyone around you didn't realize is you're probably a lot cooler than they were. You just didn't know how to articulate it.
I think people still realize that. It's incredible.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you see Barcelona, Real Madrid, literally any kind of Spanish jersey around all the time now, which it's, to me, it's almost like I don't really even know soccer, or it's not ingrained in me in the way that it would be for someone who's had a childhood like you. But it is definitely a fashion and a culture symbol. It's a status symbol. And for that reason, I do lament a lot about the lack of really cool logos that Major League Soccer has. Which now is reminding me that you were present for kind of the rebrand fiasco at Columbus Crew. Did you, you clearly survived it, but did you have any thoughts on how that went and lessons learned just as a player who experienced it?
Man, we had no idea until we were called into a meeting, because I think it got leaked on Twitter or something, and then we got called into an emergency team meeting the next morning, and they like explained everything to us. And I don't think we were allowed an opinion on the time whether or not we or not. And I understand too, you know, the new ownership wanted to take the club in their direction. They wanted to feel like they had, you know, that. But for being, especially Columbus, that's a club really owned by the fans. Them keeping the club there, and I really felt for the fans because I know how passionate they are about that club, and you know, how, especially the logo. For me, I thought the first logo was great, and I thought they knocked the second one out of the park too.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, they can do what they want. It's their club. That's what they want to do. But for me, I was pretty gutted for the fans. I felt for them.
Yeah, I definitely think they were obviously the ones most impacted, especially with the Save the Crew movement, which. I am a huge fan of soccer, but my memory is terrible. So I assume that I think all of that happened obviously before you got there, because it definitely happened before COVID. But back to San Diego, you said you have one sibling, one brother. He's older than you. What is he up to these days?
He actually works for ESPN.
No way.
In LA. Yeah, so we're plugged into the sports world here.
What's his sport of choice, or what sport does he work on most with ESPN?
So, well, he does a lot of soccer now, but you know, he does a bit of everything, from UFC, baseball, but he does a lot of soccer. So I've seen him a couple of times. He's come out when the national team's been out in Columbus. He's come out, so that was always nice.
I love that. You went to Poway High School. We talked a little bit about Poway before you pressed record, and it's considered a suburb of San Diego. For those who know San Diego but don't know Poway, how would you describe it?
San Diego in weather and little else, I would probably say. But it's interesting you say that, because obviously I lived in Poway for 8-9 years, and then I went to college in La Jolla in San Diego. I would consider myself from San Diego at this point.
Right.
For me, I've clouded out those Poway memories. Those are in the back of my mind. I've probably blacked those out. So, you know, Poway's a nice place, but I think coming from where I came from in Spain, it was quite different. And maybe wasn't really the best place for us and our family. I don't think we really fit in too well.
You're
there.
You're a city guy. You can't help it.
A little bit, and it's a little bit more rural and country than I think I'm used to. And but no, it's a great place. But I think San Diego is it's definitely different from Poway. Definitely different.
Right. And I think the argument among Americans is, if you say you're from, I've got friends who say that they're from San Diego, and then you'll say, oh, what part? And they say Temecula, and you're like, what part of San Diego do you think that is, my friend? But it, yeah, it is easier to just to say San Diego, but also you're absolutely right. The University of San Diego, where you had an awesome collegiate career, is in arguably the most beautiful part of San Diego. What made you decide to go to USD?
I was a little bit of a late bloomer, I would say. And, you know, I played for all three coaches at some point in my youth career. So I knew them, and I knew that they would give me an opportunity to play my freshman year. And I think other schools, maybe I would have had the, you know, I don't think they would have had the same belief in me from the word go. And I think that was really important to me. It's always been important in my career, you know, to play. So I think that's really what, you know, what really brought me there. It wasn't had anything that didn't have anything to do with staying in San Diego. It didn't have anything to do with, you know, even the beauty of the school and things like that. I made my decision based on soccer, and, you know, for better or for worse, I think there were good times and bad, but I think it worked out overall. So I don't think there's anything I'd change.
Well, I found it interesting when you were drafted in 2020, your coach, Brian Quinn, who is a bit of a San Diego legend himself, I saved this because I thought it was fantastic. He obviously was not surprised, but he said that you had a work ethic like Kawhi Leonard, the NBA player. And because I know nothing about NBA, I don't know how high of a praise that is. He just said that you're one of those guys that put in a lot of work in the off season.
If I'm being honest, I don't think he knows who that is either. So
interesting. Of all the people, and soccer being a global sport, I'm sure there's got to be a soccer player you would compare yourself to.
Well, and I think he would too. I think he was trying to make it easier for the readers and trying to choose something that they could understand. But no, I appreciate that from him. But I think it's because Kawhi Leonard used to come to our school to do some off-season training. I think maybe that's how he knows who that is.
That's amazing.
But other than that, I was very surprised he knows who that is.
Yeah, my initial thought was, I think, based on how well he's done in the NBA from his Wikipedia page, I think that might be a compliment. I don't see why not. He was very excited that you were drafted. And the University of San Diego, when they announced that one of their own had been drafted as a professional soccer player in America, they also announced that you were a finance student, and they told us your GPA, which I thought was really sweet of them.
Yeah, as long as they don't give out my social security number too.
Let me double check the article. I don't think that I saw it. I'm just kidding.
No, yeah, it was a great experience at the school. And you know, obviously I didn't really go there for academics, if I'm being honest.
Nor should you, honestly.
Didn't really care too much about, but no, it's obviously nice to leave with a degree, so
yeah,
I can't complain.
So in your time there, and specifically in 2018, there, for anyone who doesn't know, there was a group of local investors who put together this proposal called Soccer City San Diego, and the idea was to redevelop the Mission Valley area where, I'm going to call it Jack Murphy Stadium, I forget what it was called, Qualcomm, whatever, the old Chargers, old Padres stadium, redo it and make a new stadium that San Diego State would use, revitalize it with a bunch of like mixed use space, commercial, residential, et cetera. How it would have also, here's the important thing, it would have also guaranteed that an MLS team would have come to San Diego, more or less. How aware were you of that movement, or how plugged in were you?
I was very aware and really, you know, cheering for the MLS. I mean, they have the USL team there and they have the NWSL team there, and they're both doing extremely well, and they're both supporting an incredible soccer city. And I think San Diego easily could be an MLS, you know, city. And I'm still cheering for that to this day. I think that city deserves good professional sports teams. The Padres finally put it together.
Yes.
Obviously the Chargers left, so it's really just down to, you know, to the Padres and the NWSL and USL team. But I would love for them to get to an MLS team. And I know me and my friends in college, my roommates were all hoping for it, and still are. So, you know, hanging in there, hoping for the
best.
Yeah,
and we've got time. Obviously Don Garber seems to be adding a new team every minute. But I bring it up, and I realized I'm covering it. I've got my studio, my apartment is quite small, so my Peloton just hangs out behind me. But this scarf that I have right here says OSG. It is an original supporters scarf of that campaign, because amazingly enough, I worked for a consulting firm who advised on that campaign and had the opportunity to be in San Diego for fall of 2018 and see that through. Unfortunately, it failed. But I remember going into it excited at the prospect of meeting Landon Donovan, obviously having an idea of who he was as a legendary soccer player. And there was so much about that campaign and just how quirky it was and being in a completely different element myself, but also for him, because campaigns are not his strong suit. But I have some very interesting memories of that time. And I know that you played for him with the San Diego Loyal for a bit, and he's still the coach there. What were some of the surprising, maybe not shocking, but surprising things that you learned about Landon Donovan when you met him?
I say the same thing about obviously Rooney here. He's just a normal guy. You know, at the end of the day, obviously you when you're a kid and you see him on TV, you develop a different image of them. But then, you know, you meet them and they're just regular guys. They're, you know, down to earth guys. They have the same interests that you do and some different. And, I remember being surprised at how generous and nice he was. And especially for me, the first time I was there was, both times it was just there a month, but I think the first time I was there like 4 weeks or something like that. And he still, you know, he knew I wasn't going to be there the whole season, and he still invested time into me when he could have been invested in players who he knew was going to be there the next year and right. was on long-term deals. I think that was, for me, that was really impressive that he still invested so much time into me, knowing that, you know, I was just on a short loan, and that's why I was glad to go back, because I feel like you know, he would put the time in me, and I owed it to him, you know.
Right, which I think they wanted exactly what it seems like you provided at Poway High School and at USD, which is like goals on goals on goals. And we would love that too at DC United, by the way. We're very glad you're here. I should say that. I know that you came in this like crazy, just whirlwind of a summer transfer window. And your first game, if I remember, was the friendly against Bayern. You have had relationships with some folks on the team, most notably John Kempen, who a goalkeeper for us, who I believe you guys may have overlapped it at the Crew, and also were together in San Diego. What kind of advice did he give you when you came to DC, and what of that advice was the most helpful for you?
John, I met him my first rookie preseason, and then he went to San Diego, and I was given advice on places to live, and then I ended up going to San Diego and we met up there, and then we came back to Columbus for the end of the season and we lived together. And so John and I have this, essentially I follow him around wherever, whatever club he goes to, I end up at. So,
yeah.
I told him a couple days before it was announced that it was happening. And I think he gave me about 15 pages worth of text regarding everything from places to live, you know, team dynamic, culture, this and that. And, you know, what to expect, and I'm very, very grateful, because it allowed me to, you know, maybe settle in a little bit quicker than I would have. And I think just helping me, you know, day to day, you know, getting to know the guys and who, you know, who's who. And like you said, I trained one day before that Bayern game, and I was going out there, I didn't know really anyone's name. It was obviously, you know, a difficult whirlwind. So I'm grateful that he stepped in, and
yeah,
like he does, he's very generous. He helped me out a lot.
So Sam, DC's comms guy, mentioned that you have a fantasy football league coming up. And I know you've stated before that you are quite competitive and a pretty sore loser. So how competitive do you get with your fantasy league, and do you have more than one?
So I played for the first time last year, and I knew nothing about football. I don't really like football, if I'm being honest. I don't really like watching. It's important to participate in like team events and things like that, I think. So, you know, that's really kind of why I did it last year, and I enjoyed following. I had a terrible team, but somehow made it to the final. I think it was beginner's luck. And I think I understand a bit more this year, but for me, I don't really care about the actual football so much, if I'm being honest. It's just more the competing and having something to brag about, you know, throughout the week. And I think I'm looking forward to that, and that'll be interesting. Hopefully we maybe score a few more points than we did last year, but no, it's nice.
Yeah, I've been doing MLS fantasy, which I am no longer ashamed of admitting, even though I probably should be. But the first year I did it, we had a $100 buy-in and the winner got $1,000. And I somehow managed to win. My draft was just great and I coasted on that. And I have been chasing that high ever since. And I am consistently in like second to last or last place. And I am a sore loser. So I'm to the point now where I don't even look at it. And I would rather just pretend it doesn't exist. And I wish WhatsApp had like a mute the whole season function instead of like mute one day, mute one week. Like, just get me out of here. I can't do it anymore. Lucas De Leon was my first pick of the draft. So he's been pretty great for me.
Yeah, that's a good choice. That's a good choice.
Yeah, thank you. Now, with you being as competitive as you are, I know the L's have to hurt a little bit more than they do for the average person. What is the most, this can be on or off the field, but what is the most humbled you have ever been?
I'm trying to think, obviously, you know, it's a weird one because, you know, we obviously lost 6-0 a couple of games ago and I've never experienced that in my career.
Oh yeah. I wasn't going to mention that.
You know, I was actually, you know, proud of, I mean, especially like the first 40 minutes of that game, we were excellent. So it never felt like a 6-0 game. So that's probably the first one that comes to mind because I've never been so embarrassed. But, you know, at the end of the day, when I look back on the game, I was, you know, there was definitely positive signs and there's things like that. I'm trying to think, I mean, we played Champions League in Mexico last year with Columbus and I think we lost away. It might have only been 2 or 3 nil away, but at the end of the game, they were just passing the ball around us and the crowd was yelling, ole, ole. And that was not a great feeling. So,
especially with a long flight afterwards.
Exactly. And it's not nice to be oled, you know, in front of, you know, 40,000 fans. So,
yeah, I feel that. I absolutely feel that. But if it makes you feel any better, DC was doing 6-0 before you got here. So, it's not like they decided to do that just because you came around.
It doesn't make me feel too much better, if I'm being honest, but yeah.
Dang it. I'm gonna think of something a little bit more comforting and get back to you.
Please do.
Okay. I've got a couple more questions and then we will wrap up here. If soccer had walkout music like baseball did, what would be the song you would come out of the tunnel to?
I love Bad Bunny. It's probably something by him. You know, I think it's the most fun music to listen to probably. I don't know if I can just
pick town when he was here at Knott's Park. Did you go see him?
Yeah, I found out the next day that he was here, but I think we had training or anything like that, so I probably wouldn't have.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, I'm sure he'll come back eventually. It's not like, you know, we're in Columbus. We're, you know, no one comes to Columbus other than I think Green Day or something like that. So
the white guys,
you know. He will have a bit better, I think, live music, but no, probably something by him.
Okay, that's a solid choice. I'll give it to you. Now, are you as a fan? I take it you pick Spain over the U.S. or Spain over anybody in the World Cup.
You know, as a fan, that's who I'll support.
Right,
Sebastian Halter is my friend, so I'll support the U.S. too, I guess.
Sure.
Because, yeah, you know, I'll support his family, but probably I don't think they're my favorite. I think they have a problem scoring goals consistently, and I think in a tournament, it's gonna come down to, you know, who can consistently, you know, score and I don't know. I think, you know, obviously France is great again, but I think it's gonna be a South American team, Brazil or Argentina. Hopefully Argentina if out of those two.
Why do you say that? Just because of
I just want Messi to win. He deserves it.
I was gonna say the second I said it, I was like, oh yeah, that guy, Messi. Yeah. I am so it is embarrassing at times how plugged in I have become to MLS that I sometimes forget there is other soccer around. Which obviously Champions League is happening this week. And whenever anyone asks who I'm rooting for, I'm like, what American plays on a team that I can support? So obviously, I'm a big Leeds fan. All that to say. What did you say?
Yeah, no, I respect that. I respect that. You no, and it's especially with your job. You know, you gotta MLS is there's a lot to tackle in MLS. I think there's a lot more to tackle than people abroad realize. It can be consuming.
Well, I should also specify here, this is not my job. This is my hobby, which makes it more interesting. We are currently chatting on my lunch break. So I assume we're probably also chatting on yours. I just really like soccer. Okay. Okay. So this is the last thing I'll ask. You don't have to comment on the first part of this, but I think it's safe to say DC's, place in the playoffs or postseason has already been decided. Who do you anticipate being the two teams in the MLS Cup this year?
In my experience in the league, obviously my first year, I felt like we were the hot team going to the playoffs. We felt like the whole year, we felt like no one could beat us. And I'm trying to, think of teams like in Columbus. I'm trying to think this year in the East. I think it's going to be coming down to a team that gets hot. And I think if Philly can stay the way they are, they're an interesting team to play against. Cause I thought we probably could have easily won the game we played against them, but they seem to be doing it every week where maybe that's happening and they're winning. So that's what good teams do. And in the West, if LAFC can figure it out, they're pretty dangerous, but I don't know if they will be able to. I think they have a lot. They have too much sometimes. So I'll say LAFC, but I think I'm a little suspicious of them, if I'm being honest. So Austin, for me, Austin's a great team. So I'll change it to Austin.
Okay,
they look good.
You're damn lucky. I wrote this down in pencil, not pen.
Okay, good. Yeah.
I'm kidding. Thank you so much for chatting with me today. Please let everybody know what you're up to, what DC United's up to next, where we can find you on social media, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I guess my name, MiguelBerry9, I think is my Instagram. If I'm being honest, I don't think I've used it in months, but I probably need to.
Good for you.
Probably need to. So if you want to give me a follow there, maybe I'll be more active than I have been. I don't really love pictures of myself. I think the camera people here will tell you that I hide every single time they're taking pictures. It's just awkward.
Do you want to talk about that? There's got to be some sort of psychological thing. Come on.
No, it's not that. I just don't feel the need that, there's other things that we could be taking pictures of in the world. So,
sure.
Yeah. But,
you can't say that too loud, otherwise Kenzie won't have a job.
No, I just do it for laughs to give him a hard time sometimes. But maybe I'll start getting more involved in that. But so find me there, and hopefully next year and to finish this year, we'll finish strong. And I'm pretty confident in the direction this team's going. I wouldn't be I would say as optimistic as I am if I weren't. So that was a mouthful, but yeah. I'm excited for what's in front of us, and I think we'll surprise a lot of people.
Good. I look forward to being surprised.
Good.
Very much so. As a DC United fan and season ticket holder. So
we'll do it for you then.
Thank you. That it's the least you guys could do. I'm just kidding. Thank you so much, Miguel.
Of course, no problem. Thank you so much.